20th anniversary season. For more information, visit ShemanisTheater.ca.
And we're back with the Radio Real Estate Show, and I've got James here in the studio. How are you, James?
I'm doing great, thanks.
We're just having a quick chat over the break there, and that Nigerian story was fantastic. But let's go back on to what you were saying about the PCS and that.
Well, that's exactly it, Scott. I mean, with the MLS, with Realtor.ca, I mean, it's a great way to find listings, but it doesn't give you all the information that you need. Basically you get a little bit of the square footage, you get, you know, the number of bedrooms and bathrooms, but it's not going to really tell you anything about, you know, if it's by any schools. It's not going to tell you the assessed value. It's not going to tell you the days on market.
Right.
And a lot of times too, like you were saying before, the listing is about 4 days old. So you're not going to know if they've done a price change. You're not going to know if it's been changed to pending. You're not going to know if it's been pulled off the market temporarily. Right. So that's why it's really great.
Well, and it's those new listings. If a listing's hot, I mean, really well priced. Let's say, you know, the house is worth $450 all day long, and someone listed at $380 because they just want to sell it.
Yeah.
You know, at $380, that right away, the first hour, you're going to have people swarming the listing.
That's exactly it.
And in 4 days' time, it'll be sold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if you're waiting for it to come on the MLS, the good ones like that are long gone. I had a customer last year buy a house. It came on the PCS site at, I think it was about 10 a.m. in the morning. I was actually on the real estate tour. He called me, "Scott, did you see the new listing?" And I'm like, I just got the email. I mean, he called me within about 30 seconds of it coming up. I raced down to his house, picked him up. We drove there on the way there, and you know what our cell service is like. I was frantically trying to get a listing appointment to the place. I got through to the agent. She said, "You can't see the house because it's rented. You have to give me 24 hours notice."
Oh, no.
So we went next door,
mm-hmm.
and we climbed on the fence next door with a pair of binoculars.
Oh, my
looked
goodness.
At the house.
Right, right.
I had a blank offer sheet in the car. We drove back to town. I filled out the blank offer sheet, full price offer accepted, and we gave them 1 hour to accept the offer.
Wow.
And they took the offer.
Holy smokes.
But it's because he had the critical information.
Yeah.
We knew the house was under, in my opinion, under market value by probably about $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got in to see the house. Not one person ever viewed the house.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was because he had the upper hand.
It's because he was an educated, astute buyer,
saw
the deal,
could
act fast, and did it.
Exactly.
Unconditional offer. No conditions on the offer.
No.
I mean... But I mean, it was, you know, a great house, waterfront house, $600,000. I mean, it was a deal.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'll get that all the time with my buyers. I'll get a call or a text message saying, "Hey, did you see the new listings or whatever?" And I'm there checking my phone too at the same time. And oh yeah, sometimes they're a second ahead of me, you know, because they're eager, you know.
It's a competitive market.
It is,
especially if it's a hot, good listing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, if a listing goes on the market and nothing happens in a week, guess what? It's probably, you know, it's going to be a long grind. You know, you're going to have a tough grind with that listing. If all of a sudden within the first golden 48 hours, it's like showing,
yeah.
You know, you're on a roll with that place. I mean.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, speaking of technology, I mean, there's just so much out there in terms of how you can market the home. And it brings me up to a story about a listing I had in central Saanich, and this lady had a really beautiful home, and she was moving to Russia, and so she didn't want to take.
What did she get, a letter from the Russian Tsar? Marriage proposal?
Yeah, exactly. I have about $50 million, you know, for you here, that's been part of your inheritance or something. Yeah, exactly. So she had to move, and of course she didn't want to bring all of her furnishings.
Right.
You know, she just couldn't. She couldn't do it. So she offered the house with her furniture and a few other items, and we put it up for sale, and we got an offer. Well, the person putting in the offer said, "Okay, I really like the furniture. I'll sort of offer a price," because what the seller wanted to do was sell the house, but also sell the furniture separately.
Right.
So we wrote up the offer, and then they sort of gave a proposal for the furniture that they wanted, and the seller came back and said, oh, it's too low, I don't want to sell it for that.
Right.
So anyway, a few days later, and the deal's about to close, and I get a phone call from the buyer, and she said, she says, hi, James. I said, I need you to go on Craigslist right now. And I said, okay. So I pull up Craigslist, and there is the seller's furniture. And advertised there, it says, I'm selling my furniture because I'm having to relocate, and the buyers for my house are too damn cheap to pay for it. And she's got exclamation mark after it. Oh yeah, she put this whole rant onto Craigslist, and sure enough, they found it. You know, and here I was double ending it, so I was representing both the buyer, and it put me in a really awkward spot.
Right.
You know, so but no, we managed to get it all sorted out. But
well, see, and there's a good reason why people need a real estate agent.
Yeah.
Because you know, I mean, and I find my job is to. You go in, let's say you're dealing with the sellers. So you go in, talk to the sellers, and you know, you tell them, you prep them, okay, this is, you're asking 600, I've got an offer coming in this afternoon. I don't know what the offer's for, because typically you won't know, right?
Exactly.
So then you go meet with the buyers. And the buyers say, yeah, we're going to buy that shack, we hate it, but we're going to buy it, we're going to take it off our hands, but we're only going to offer 500, and they'll just be negative emotions, but they'll want it, but
exactly.
And they'll be almost kind of, you know, and if they ever met face to face, they would be throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah,
and the sellers are just, oh, I can't believe they came in that low, I want to claw their eyes out, and they're just so mad.
Yeah.
And so your job is to be kind of the rational person in the center that goes, okay.
We're kind of like mediators.
Yeah, okay, we'll, you know, and I never try to pass, I never do pass on any emotional baggage from one to the other.
No.
I just take the offer in writing and say, oh, here's the offer, you know, and I don't say, and they hate your guts and they want to, you know, they think your house is a shack and they can't stand the smell of your laundry and what are you cooking this place? It's hideous, you know, because that would just inflame it. I mean,
it
you actually want the people to calm down, seriously look at the offer. You know, I find that it's the one thing that people forget in this world, and it's probably the most important economic lesson, is the opportunity cost of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen people act totally irrational on $600,000-$700,000 sales. And walk away from it. You know, the sellers throw their hands up, say, we're not doing the deal with them. We just don't like them.
Yeah.
For a few thousand dollars. And then like a year or two later, they're still sitting at the same house with a for sale sign.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the opportunity cost? The missed opportunity cost.
Yeah.
It's the what you could have done with that money, and also the mm-hmm. opportunity cost of life.
Exactly.
Like, don't you want to get on with your life? But they seem to just get so...
It's an emotional experience, and it is very stressful for a lot of people, because you're dealing with a very large investment, and in a lot of cases, too, you're under a very small time constraint.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to get those deals closed quickly, and there's a lot of things that are changing, and sometimes the unexpected happens. You know, and, you know, when that does arise, you got to sit back and take it and look at it and, you know, deal with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, or else the home inspection will happen, and then the home inspector will find something, you know, that's kind of like, you know, half your house is going to fall over because there's, you know, it's rotting under here, and the sellers just go crazy. It's not rot. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I'll fix it myself. And it's like, well, they really don't want a mad man to go in there who is denying that there's any problems to grab a few 2x4s from Slag Lumber and throw them underneath there and say, it's fixed! You know,
exactly.
At this point, you know, you've said in disclosure form that there was nothing wrong with their house, which you've lived in, and mm-hmm. now they have found something.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of trust there, so they're not going to trust you mm-hmm. to do the repairs. They're going to either want to have a professional mm-hmm. contractor come in, have a look at it, give a written quote, and then have them do it, mm-hmm. but not you.
No.
The chances, but the sellers get so wound up in it. Damn, there's nothing wrong with this house. I've been here 30 years. I love this place. They're telling me my roof leaked. It didn't leak. That, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that goes back to the same property I was telling you about with the furniture, because they had done the home inspection. And the home inspector comes back and says, you know, everything looks okay, but we found some rat droppings up in the attic. Oh, my goodness. And that opened up another can of worms, saying the house was infested, and then they wanted the owner to clean it up, and the owner didn't want to clean it up. And then they said, well, who's going to do the work? I'm not paying for it. Should have been cleaned, you know. Oh, yeah, so, but...
And so there's a real estate agent up there with a rag cleaning up the rat droppings the day before closing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, it's all... People get so wound up and so emotional. I mean, it's because it's a lot of money. And there's also the love that goes into a house. Because, see, I always tell people, you're selling your house, not your home.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way it works? And, you know, like, the problem is they get... so
attached
to it emotionally that they can't let go, because it's this nurturing place where they've raised their kids and their family, and their grandmother lived there, and all these things happen in the home. So that's what they're selling. And they, you know, when somebody comes in and says, well, we did a home inspection and the house is going to fall over, you know, it's like a personal insult, you know, and your
dog
smells and your cats reek, and, you know, I mean, they...
Oh, exactly. And those home inspections, they have to be thorough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're in there. I kid you not. Some of them are 3-4 hours long.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll do a 1-hour walkthrough with the client. And they're there to basically protect the buyer. And, you know, and it's to their best interest that they do it.
Good news. The Salt Spring Freight just left the parking lot. They show up every Tuesday, 12 o'clock, to unload whatever they unload.
Oh, my goodness.
They have a power tailgate, and it's usually, you know, in the summertime, we'll have the windows open in here, and it's like, boom, right at 12 o'clock. Boom. Hello, Salt Spring Freight. They're on their way.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, he's just doing his job. He's a good guy. Anyways, so that's the thing about real estate is the agents, our job is to help people go through this emotional roller coaster.
Exactly.
And to give them advice and to talk to them and to sometimes, you know, just say, you know, the voice of reason. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, let's say you're going to let this deal blow up and you're going to, you know, because of spite, you're not going to go through with it. Your house is going to sit on the market for a couple more years. Is it really worth it? Sometimes you got to swallow your pride to get something. And
you do.
It's always a hard thing for people. It's a, you know, that's why with the stock market, oh, there he is, Johnny DeVille's walking in the studio. that's what they say about the stock market. People that do trading themselves, it's they get so attached, and it's their own emotions that they're trading against, and that's why they usually generally lose more money than they make. It's because, you know, they believe emotionally they're right, and they get attached to the stocks, where if you have, you know, a fund manager, it, you know, they're doing things more clinically. They're not emotionally attached to the trades. Where, you know, I went to the annual general meeting, I met the president, talked to them, they seem like such good guys, I've invested the $80,000 in their business, I'm convinced it's going to go up, and even though the share price is dropping like a rock, they don't sell because they believe that fundamentally they're good guys and the company's going to come around. Instead of putting a stop loss in and saying, okay, once it's down 10%, we're just going to sell, they just hang in there and they lose...
That's right. It ends up doing them more harm than good.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with real estate. Sometimes people get, like, I don't want to say too many stories because I live here on Salt Spring Island, and it's a small community. But, you know, last year I did a CMA for a CMA is a comparative market analysis for someone. Or is it competitive?
Comparative.
Market analysis for someone on the island here. And it wasn't selling their house. It was selling their mother's house that they lived in when they were a kid.
Oh.
And I mean, you know,
yeah.
The guy had tears in his eyes as we walked through the house room by room. Oh, this is where Mama used to put us to bed.
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
Oh, this is where Mama, and the mother had died, right?
Yeah.
And so it was a very emotional time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately the house was, you know, very dated. I mean, she was an elderly lady.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was looking at it as a clinical, it wasn't my mother. I mean, I didn't know the lady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had never met her, so I had no emotional tie to her.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the house from the point of the view of the buyers buying a house on Salt Spring,
mm-hmm.
and looking at other houses being competitive in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the house was dated, old looking, needed upgrades. It wasn't a house that would appeal to very many people, and it would have to be at the fairly low price, around $500,000 to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the baggage this guy had was the most beautiful house in the world, because, you know, he could feel every room had so much emotion in it.
He had such a strong emotional tie. Yeah. You know,
impossible to sell. I mean, he...
Yeah.
And he wouldn't take my advice, and of course, other agents had told him a higher price, and the house still sits. Like, this is 2 years later. It's still sitting on the market.
Yeah.
With
no
movement.
Yeah, I know.
And the problem is, you know, it's almost like grieving, you know. At first, there'll be, you know, he'll have to go through that anger phase, all the five steps of grieving, and finally hit acceptance where he goes, okay, well, maybe it's not that great. But
mm-hmm.
it'll take a long time to get there. I mean...
Oh, exactly. And you know, it's...
Denial.
I had a client who was the exact opposite. I would consider them the dream client for every real estate agent. I went to go list their house, and she asked me when we listed it that she could be on PCS to watch her neighbors, to spy on them.
To what?
To spy on them, to see what they were doing. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? She's like, I want to be ahead of the competition.
Right.
And I said, okay, so I'll set you up on PCS. So sure enough, I went home and I broke her load of the listing. I set her up for her neighborhood for this, you know, similar size of home and whatnot. The next day she phones me up and says, my neighbor's doing an open house this weekend. Can we do one? So I said, sure, okay, well, let's do an open house. And then I get a call a week later saying they've just lowered their price. Let's lower it another $5,000 below them.
Right.
So here we were, you know, working together to outsell them. And we did. We actually ended up selling in less time than her neighbor did, because she was watching the market.
Well, and you see, and also, even if she sold the house at the same price,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, what was the price range, just roughly?
It was in the low 400s.
So even if, okay... let's say the neighbor was with another real estate company that
mm-hmm.
charged a lot more. Let's say they were charging like $17,000 to sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the house is sold at the same price.
Mm-hmm.
She would end up with more money in her pocket.
Oh, that's right. And it also gave her more leverage, too, on how much she could negotiate as well.
Yeah.
So it made a real big difference.
That's what I find, that... you know, people that choose 1%, not only are they getting all the marketing that everyone else gets, but all of a sudden, you can be more competitive in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The marketplace is that competitive. You know, $5,000 on a house can make a huge difference.
It can. It definitely can, Scott.
Because people will look at that house, and then they'll look at the neighbor's house and go, yeah, but it's $5,000 less. Even if we don't like that room or the kitchen, we can upgrade.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, if we get it, and if we put in a lower offer, maybe we'll get it for $8,000 less.
Mm-hmm. And well, the other thing too to take in consideration too is, like, if you've owned the house for 2 years and you have to sell for whatever reason and you have to pay a mortgage penalty,
ooh,
you know, of $20,000 or $30,000, because they can be, you know, quite
those
substantial
fixed mortgages,
that will really limit you on how much you can sell the home for.
Gosh, I've had some people with penalties up to $32,000.
Yeah.
If they sell,
it is really scary. And
the fixed term mortgages have massive penalties if you go to pay out it early, if you sell your house early.
Well, they do. Yeah, if you
just
get
massive.
If you're locked into a 5 year and you're having to sell your house a year or two later, yeah, the penalty could be quite substantial. And then when you go to price your home and you add on the extra $20,000, and then of course you're adding another $20,000 in commission, now you're, you know, $20,000 above everyone else in your neighborhood. You're not going to sell the house.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's just it. It's so competitive in the real estate business right now, especially anywhere on Vancouver Island, from Victoria to Port Hardy to Salt Spring.
Mm-hmm.
We have an abundance of listings. So if we had, let's say in all of Salt Spring there was 40 houses for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it doesn't really matter. List your house at, you know, add another 10 grand if you need to get out of your mortgage, add another 20. Make it 60 more. It doesn't really matter if we were down to 40 listings.
Yeah.
But when we're sitting at, you know, just south of 400 listings,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh, exactly.
You've got to be, you've got to have a razor sharp price, and it's got to be better than.
Well, the stats as of March 26, Victoria Real Estate Board, and that includes the Gulf Islands, to Souk, to Sydney, and Victoria, had 3,997 listings.
Wow.
And of those, in the last 7 days, there were only, I think, about 110 sales, but there was about 200 price changes.
Wow.
And about 300 new listings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that says something. If you have 200 listings doing a price change, and you're in the market and you're far too high, well, there's 200 people that have just basically undercut you.
Well, and that's why, yeah, instead of firing your agent, think about the price.
Exactly.
I mean, I make it available to any of my sellers that if you really want, you call me up, send me an email, and we'll go out and we'll go look at the competitive houses in your market price range you're selling against.
Yeah.
And we'll go look at them, and you see what the buyers are seeing firsthand, and you're going to see they've got a better view, they've got a better kitchen, they've got a better this, they've got a better that, and they're less. Why would someone buy your house?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, buyers are not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers are highly educated and in the market, and they're watching the market like crazy, and they're watching every single house, and they're looking at everything.
Well, I see it so often, Scott, where a house has been on the market for so long, and they've gone through, like, you know, 10 or 15 different real estate agents, thinking that it's going to make a difference, and doesn't, you know.
It's
all about price.
You know? I hate to say it, it's all about price, and it's... We're running out of time. We only have about 10 minutes left, and we got to stop for a couple commercials. But it's a hard thing to quantify price.
Yeah.
Because it's a value equation. It's probably the hardest thing to come up with. What is the value equation of the house? What is the house offering in value that other, you know, that makes it better than the other competitive houses?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was just price, the only thing selling would be the mobile homes.
Well, that's right.
I mean, if so, it's not just price, it's the value equation. So what gives a house value? And part of it, that is view, the size of the house, the size of the lot, the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. All of these things represent the value equation, and it's a hard thing to quantify, especially in the rural properties.
It is. It definitely is.
Well, we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. And we're back with the Radio Real Estate Show. And we've got about 6 more minutes left, and Johnny DeVille will be in with the rock and roll machine this afternoon. And if you don't listen to Johnny's show, you should if you like rock and roll. Johnny's show is just full of good old-fashioned rock and roll, and Johnny can tell some stories, too. Johnny DeVille will be up in about 7 minutes. So I've got one question to ask you, James. Now, I'm going to pretend I'm selling my house. Now, and you're coming to my house and you're giving me a presentation on how you're going to list my house. Now, I'm going to ask you something that you've probably heard before. Because I get this question.
I think I know what you're going to ask me.
I get this question a lot. Okay, now, if I list with you at 1% Realty, Vancouver Island, my house, will other agents show my house?
Yeah, that's probably the number one question I get asked all the time. And it's probably one of my favorite questions because, you know, with today's technology, like I said, it is so easy to get the information. I mean, basically now the real estate agent's job has really simplified. We set our clients up on PCS and they're able to find the listings on MLS. So no longer are you going down to the office and relying on that, for that phone book of listings. They're getting the listings online. The agent's not bringing them the listings anymore. They're doing the work themselves. And so many times, I mean, in fact, I would go for so far as to say that 99% of the time, they phone me up and say, okay, these are the listings that you sent me on PCS, and I want to take a look at them. And, you know, that's basically how it works. They have the listings in front of them. I mean, all we're able to input into the system to send them is square footage, location, you know, house type. And if the listing meets that criteria, it's instantly emailed to them. And if they want to take a look at it, well, then the agent's going to show them the listing. You know, and that's basically how it works. I mean, with the MLS, the PCS, the for sale sign, I mean, I think it's over 75%, I think even higher than that now, of our listings are sold by outside brokerages, you know, by other companies.
But it's the one question that I seem to, you know, even after 5 years in Salt Spring as a 1% realtor, that I seem to get all the time. Well, I think, will they show your listings? It's like, they can't not, because the buyers are in this world, this electronic world, hovering around Salt Spring or Vancouver Island, looking at everything. The buyers see what the buyers want to see.
And so many times I've actually had people, they get the PCS, they'll go to the open house, and because they feel bad sometimes phoning me up and say, hey, can we go take a look at the listing? So they'll go to the open house, they'll come back and say, I just want you to write the offer. You know?
That's nice when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so with that being said, a lot of the work now is being done by the buyer, you know?
Well, and that's one reason why I think fees overall, real estate fees, are coming down generally, because the consumers are doing so much more part of the equation themselves now.
Yeah, and another way I've dealt with that question is on our matrix system, I can actually keep track of how many people on PCS are getting your listing and how many times it's been viewed, how many times it's been favored, how many times it's been marked as a possibility. Because on PCS, you can mark your listing of your choice as a favorite, and you can watch all the price changes, you can watch all the open houses, and as an agent, we can keep track of how popular that listing is. And I mean, you know, I got a listing, it's got over 500 client portals. That means there are 500 people working with a real estate agent that have got that listing, that have viewed that listing. And they have all the information. They have the price, location, all of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming in today. It was a real pleasure having you on the show.
Well, it was a pleasure being here with you, Scott.
You've made it to CFSI. You say you can be now. You've been to CFSI.
Exactly. No, I had a great time.
Well, no, and I wish you all the luck up in Parksville when you get moved up there with your family this summer and start your business up there. I think it should be really successful. Parksville's a nice town.
It is. It's a beautiful town. I'm really looking forward to it, Scott.
And I'll talk to you all later. Have yourself a wonderful day on Salt Spring Island. I'll be back next Tuesday on this channel on CFSI. And streaming live over the net, and this podcast will be available tonight on my website at saltspringre.com. You can find it, or you can follow me at Twitter at saltspringre, and I'll have the link to the podcast up on Twitter tonight. So have yourself a wonderful day, Salt Spring Island, and Johnny DeVille will be in shortly.